Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new book called Reignite. But first, here's his message, Grace Enough.
In our series, The Promises of God, how can we speak of these abundant and exceeding precious promises without talking about the promise of salvation? The amazing, abundant grace of God. And John Newton wrote the words to Amazing Grace, and it's the most beloved, perhaps, of all Christian hymns. I know it's the most sung of all Christian hymns and songs. And truly, God's grace is amazing. But did you know that God's grace is also simply enough? His grace is enough to meet our every need, and especially our need of eternal life, the forgiveness of sin, and the power of God to live life daily. So from time to time, we need to make sure that everyone who hears us hears the simple salvation message. We need to know that everyone is saved. Both our guest as well as, yes, even members of the church. Because it's possible to be a member of the church and not be saved. You can be a member of every church in the community and not be saved. So what I want to do in this message on the simplicity of salvation in Christ, this grace is enough message, is to get back to the real essential, the eternal essential. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians in your New Testament. Ephesians, the second chapter. We desperately need the grace of God. Now, I know the message that we often hear today is one of self-fulfillment and self-esteem and personal fulfillment and the ways in which we meet our own needs. But man, we are insufficient to meet our own needs. Many of us believe in ourselves. We believe only in ourselves. There is nothing we can do to make us right with God in and of ourselves. And here's why. Because in reading the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2, you have a kind of spiritual autobiography or a biography of the believer. What we were in the past, what we are in the present, and what we will be in the future. He tells us here some embarrassing things about our past, some enriching things about our future, some elevating things about our future, and he tells us some exciting, or some enriching things, I should say, about our present, and then some exciting things about our future. Read along with me as I begin in verse 1. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Read this phrase out loud with me. By grace you have been saved. Again, by grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We look at ourselves, and when we take an honest look through the lens of God's Word, not through what by which the world gives us, but the Word of God gives us, and we see ourselves as we are BC, before Christ. And it's an ugly picture. For we're told that we are dead, we were dead in trespasses and sin, in which we once walked, and that we are the children of wrath. Now he uses two words describing sin. One is the word trespass, which means that sin is a defiance. Sin is defying God himself. It is living life without God. Sin is saying, God, you're not big enough to make me serve you, or in lesser ways or in smaller ways, it may simply be ignoring God, living life without God, defiantly trespassing, breaking the commandments of God. And yes, we've all broken the commandments of God. But not only is sin defiance, but sin is a defect. Because we're told that sin here, the word sin, harmatia, it means missing the mark, falling short of the righteousness and the holiness of God. Now let me ask you a question. It may sound like a trick question, it really isn't. But if I were to ask you, do you have to be perfect to go to heaven? What would you say? Now on the surface, if you don't think through that just a little bit, you might say, of course not. We are saved by God's grace. We're saved by God's mercy. No one is perfect. And you would be absolutely right. No one is perfect. But the fact is, no one goes to heaven apart from perfection. Now, really, there's three ways you can go to heaven. Now, think about this. Before you write me off as a heretic, there are three ways that you can go to heaven. One, as an infant or a child before accountability, that is, before you understand the message of Christ, if you die as a child, a small infant dies, that child will go to heaven. David lost a baby, and he cried out, Lord, I can't bring the child back, but I can go to the child. Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Another way to go to heaven, of course, is to live a perfect life. And if you live a perfect life and never sin, if you live in the perfect righteousness and holiness of God, you would go to heaven. Anybody here done that? Of course not. And of course, therefore, the way to go to heaven is on the grace of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if perfection is required, I'm not qualified. I can't go. The scripture says God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God can't even look at iniquity. And even the best that we can do in the eyes of God, self-righteousness, human righteousness, the prophet Isaiah said, is like looking at filthy rags. God sees our righteousness, not the worst that we can do, but the very best that we can do. God sees as filthy rags. That's why it takes just as much of the grace of God to save the morally upright without Christ as it does a prostitute without Christ. Because nothing we can do or attain or achieve for ourselves can earn or deserve salvation. Why? Because we are dead. Sin also is death, you see. We have no awareness. Sin is not only a sickness, it is death. It produces spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. That's why you have, without Christ, this hole in your soul. That's why so many people are so empty, existing, but dead men and women walking. You may go to the ball game, you may go to work, you may mow your lawn, and you may go to the grocery store, but without Christ, You are spiritually dead. Now, the Bible talks about three kinds of death. One death, of course, is physical death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. All of us are physically terminal. We all have a terminal disease, and it's death brought about by sin. But our physical frame, these are decaying. We have physical life, but there's also physical death, of course. Another kind of death is eternal death, what the Bible calls the second death. Better that you have never been born than to experience the second death, because the second death is eternal death and separation from God. Yes, Jesus said, and the Bible teaches, there is a hell, which is eternal separation from God. And if you are dead in your trespasses and sin, this means that ultimately spiritual death will be your future. You are targeted for the judgment of God without Christ. And you don't want to go to hell. I know it's not a popular subject, the subject of hell, but it doesn't lessen the depth and the damnation and the doom of a soul that experiences eternal hell. That's the second death. That's eternal death. Dying but never dying, perishing but never perishing. Living in separation from God in the flames of eternal torment and tragedy eternally. That's what the Bible teaches. But the Bible also tells us there is, that's why Paul calls it, we are children of wrath. What wrath? The wrath of a holy God against sin.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, Grace Enough. Pastor, this month we have a special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's your brand new book called Reignite. Can you tell us about this great resource?
Everyone struggles in their faith from time to time. And in all my years of ministry, I've seen friend after friend and even pastor after pastor experience what many would call a dark night of the soul. I've actually been through it myself. So what do we do when times like these hit and it feels like the flame of our faith is burning low? My brand new book, Reignite, is a personal work from my heart that shares exactly what that experience was like for me and how God reached down and renewed my faith in one of the most difficult times of my life, frankly. I want to send you a copy of Reignite to thank you for your financial support this month, so that we can continue to proclaim the hope of Christ through PowerPoint. So be sure and request your copy when you give your best gift today. Thank you for your partnership, for your prayers, and remember that whatever your circumstances may be, you may experience God's presence, His peace, and the hope of His promises every single day.
Call today and get Reignite as our thank you for your gift. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message, Grace Enough.
But there's another kind of death which produces physical death and eternal death, and that's spiritual death. Spiritual death is not the separation of the soul from the body, but it is the separation of the spirit from God. And that is why the scripture here tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, while alive, walking around, dead in our hearts, dead in our souls. And as a result, no hope, no future. This is what we were before Christ. No matter how good you may be or how bad you may live, badly you may live, dead. Because we have not only been born children of wrath, but we are by nature and by choice. So if you don't like the idea that I was born a child of wrath and judgment, then admit the fact that you have chosen to sin on your own. Paul goes on to say here that before Christ, we were controlled by the world system, just sucked in by the world. Do you see that there in verse 2? You once walked according to the course of this world. We were just floating down the stream, living according to the appetites of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. Our lives controlled by the devil. People talk about freedom, but they're not free. They're controlled by the power of the enemy. They're captivated by their thoughts and habits. And the devil condemns them. And then in verse 3, the passions of our flesh. The world, the flesh, the devil. No wonder Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Because the world can't satisfy what only God can give you. Dead. You know, a dead person has no appetite for the things of God, no awareness of the things of God. That's why if you don't know Christ, you walk in here and you have no awareness of spiritual power or presence around you. Others are worshiping and you wonder why. If you have no appetite, you have no real interest in God's word or spiritual things. You have no spiritual activity in your life. A dead person has no activity, just dead. And apart from Christ, you're spiritually dead, disobedient to Christ, dead in trespasses and sin, depraved by nature, the children of wrath. So this is why you can't say, "I've always been a Christian. I was raised in the church," or "my parents had me in the nursery when I was a child. I've been baptized. I've lived a good life. I know I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian." No. You're not born a Christian. You're not born a believer. We are born dead in our trespasses and sin. Do you get that? Before you can ever be saved, you have to understand that you are lost. And so therefore, dead in trespasses and sin. Thank God that He writes a new chapter. For He says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." But God intervened. God so loved the world. God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. This God who rescued us because of His love. It is His very nature to love. He loved us in that while we were yet sinners. He would love even if there were no sinners to love. In mercy, He does not give us what we deserve. The rescue was made at the cross. When God came on this mission of mercy to find us in our lostness and to deliver us from the domain of death and its depravity and its damnation. I was thinking about the book written by Robert Fulghum, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He reminds us of those days when we played hide and seek. Remember those days? Home base, you go hide, and you try to seek those who are hiding. And I can remember as a little kid, you know, my competitive nature coming through even then. And I would hide in such a great place that nobody could find me. And typically what would happen, you know, all the kids would get found, go to home base and go home. And I'd be left out there in the dark by myself. Scary place to be when nobody finds you. And Fulghum was talking about a day when he looked out his window and the kids were playing hide and seek. And everybody was back at the base except one little kid that he had seen bury himself in a pile of autumn leaves by his house. This little kid was just burrowed under there. And nobody found him, so they all just kind of gave up and went home. And he considered going out and telling the other kids, "Hey, there's one of you hiding in here in my leaf pile." But finally, he just threw open the window and he yelled at the kid, "Get found, kid!" And it scared the kid so much that he jumped up and went home crying to his mother. You know, some of you who are hearing this message, you're playing hide and seek in life with God, adult style, hide and seek. And you've buried yourself under bitter experiences. You have buried yourself in the leaves of discontentment, and you've covered yourself up in your sinful behavior, and you're hiding and hiding. But God is saying to you today, get found, kid. I'm looking for you. I'm coming to you. Jesus died for you. He rose again so that you could have eternal life. God, who is rich in His mercy and in this incredible grace, we could never, ever sin so much that we could outlive or outdo the grace of God. Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife, wrote these words, "There are no depths to which I have gone or to which I could go. But Thou in Thy fathomless mercy and love didst still sink below, plumbing the depths for a sin-ruined heart indifferent to Thee, draining the dregs of God's holy wrath that I might go free." Well spoken. He rescued us. He raised us, Paul said, out of this death. You see, what you need, you don't need just a behavior modification. If you don't know Christ, you need a resurrection. You need a miracle. You need a miracle. And that miracle is the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of the new life, when you're made alive in Christ. And that's what He's done for us. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." This is the priceless gift. This is the gift you can't live without or die without. This is the grace of God, which means gift. Not a result of work so that no one should boast. I love the acrostic I learned as a child. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Speaks here of the riches of His grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And of course, faith, F-A-I-T-H, is forsaking all, I trust Him. When God's grace reaches down to us and we reach up by faith and clasp His hand, that is salvation. And as a result, the hole in the soul is filled. We come alive in Christ. He lives in us. All of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And we have the hope of an eternal destiny with Christ forever and ever in heaven. That is the promise of salvation. Do you know Jesus? Do you know this grace through faith in Him? You say, well, what about works? Aren't we to be good people? Of course. That's why verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We are saved by grace through faith unto good works. And good works will follow grace and faith just like heat follows fire. We're saved by grace, but a grace and a faith that works. We're not saved by works, but a faith that works in His grace. Therefore, we have a purpose and a meaning in our lives that will take us all the way home.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, Grace Enough. Whatever you're facing today, how would you like to experience God's presence, His peace, and the hope of His promise in a new and refreshing way? You can, and we want to show you how by sending you Dr. Graham's brand new book, Reignite. Discover how God can renew your strength, lift your spirit, and fan your faith into a fire that lights up the world. Reignite is our way to thank you for your financial support to help proclaim the hope of Christ to more people through PowerPoint. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. Call 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
So many people, whether they realize it or not, are like that little boy who hid himself in the pile of leaves. Their life is one big game of adult hide-and-seek with God. So they buried themselves under bitter experiences, bad experiences of life, buried themselves under leaves of discontent. Some are covering themselves up with sinful behavior. Regardless of what you may be hiding under, you're hiding nonetheless if you're running from God, if you're hiding from God. But the beauty of Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 is this: But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. But God intervened. And if you would admit that you've been hiding from Him, running from Him, He says today, I'm looking for you. I'm coming for you. I love you and have a wonderful plan for your life. The good news is that today is the day that you can be found by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Today, you can take hold of the grace of God that is available to you, and yes, you can be saved. All you need to do is pray a prayer like this: Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin and I trust in You. I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life today. Take control of my life. Be my Savior, my Lord, and my God. Now, if you pray that prayer and accept Christ into your life, we want to help you get started in your new relationship with Him. So, Scott, please tell our listeners how they can get a copy of our New Believer's Kit.
Sure, Pastor. Our number is 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Pastor Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org.
And join Dr. Graham next time as he brings a message about how God's forgiveness can fuel your victories. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.